This is Radio Boston. I'm Anthony Brooks.
And I'm Sasha Pfeiffer.
Yesterday evening after work, I stopped by the restaurant upstairs on the square. It's a bit of a Harvard Square institution, as many people know, known for good food and friendly service, as well for its lavishly decorated rooms with green and deep purple walls, for the large mirrors that reflect the chandeliers and the generously decorated Christmas tree on the bar. For the past 31 years, owners Mary Catherine Dybel and Deborah Hughes have been cooking for and welcoming diners, first at Upstairs at the Pudding, and then here at Upstairs on the Square. But in just a couple of weeks, on New Year's Eve, this restaurant will serve its last meal.
The building has been bought, and a new owner is coming in, and he has plans to do his own restaurant. And he's putting several restaurants into Harvard Square. So one of them is going to go here, so it will be a whole new ball of wax here.
So we came here to say goodbye and to talk about the changing face of Harvard Square and the local restaurant scene with food critic Corby Cummer of Boston Magazine and The Atlantic, and with the co-owner of Upstairs on the Square, Mary Catherine Dybel, who was surprisingly upbeat and philosophical about the end of 31 years here in the square.
Like the Zen Buddhists say, life is change. And so we all look around Harvard Square, and in my tenure here, which is longer than 31 years, I've seen a lot of change. And this is a season of real change in Harvard Square. A lot of businesses turning over, a lot of buildings turning over. So it's eternal, at least in Harvard Square, and we accept it.
Also with us is Corby Cummer. He's a senior editor at The Atlantic Magazine who writes about food and restaurant critic for Boston Magazine. And Corby, I want to ask you what we lose when Upstairs on the Square closes down.
We lose a place that has formed family connections. That's how we came together. We both have been very active with community servings, Boston's home-delivered meals for people who are critically ill. And in fact, Mary Catherine and Deborah essentially supported the organization by paying the salary of their manager, David Waters, while he was heading our events department and is now our CEO and the visionary leader of community servings. But for so many of us, like the hundreds of people who have gotten married here, including me and my spouse and I, who were married the year that same-sex marriage was legalized, I said I would only get married if it was at Upstairs on the Square. And then I entered a raffle in which the first prize was an all-expense-paid wedding at Upstairs on the Square.
You are kidding.
I'm not kidding.
That's fantastic.
It wasn't all expenses paid because we wanted about five times as many people as the raffle included. But it was the only place I would think of getting married. I wouldn't think of having a family occasion or event that wasn't here.
But, Corby, you're a food critic, so say something about what was served here, what is still served here for another, couple of weeks, I guess.
The food here has always been, I think of it as new American cuisine based in the 1970s, which was starting to, when America was taking its own wings and saying we're not France anymore, we have our own way of cooking, even though it's rooted in a lot of France, then incorporating from southern France and northern Italian influences. So the food here has always been very comforting food that you would get at a dinner party. And that's the atmosphere they always made from the beginning. When Mary Catherine, a wonderful writer, wrote her goodbye letter, or just the announcement letter, she said, Deborah and I always wanted to give the idea of you were coming to a fabulous dinner party.
So Mary Catherine, I'd love to come back to you and just ask you about the food. What was the thinking here about the menu and the way you thought about it?
Well, it's interesting because over 31 years, it's actually changed quite a bit. Of course, originally, Deborah and her husband Michael fashioned the food, and they had just studied with Marcella Hazan. So it was a very Italian restaurant when it opened in 1982. Nobody was doing hand-rolled pasta at that point, but we were. And that eventually turned a little bit more, as we got busier, into the restaurant that Corby describes, which was comfortable but really good food that you could imagine eating, and it probably is the food that Deborah and I like the best. So for Christmas Eve, to know that we have roast prime rib on the menu and a great lobster stew, you know, that's the kind of thing we always think, what would we really love to eat with our families?
Corby, let me come back to you, because when I first started talking to Mary Catherine, she talked about the sort of change that is all around here in Harvard Square. And, you know, just up the street, Chez Henri closing after many years. Tommy Doyle's is set close by. That's closing. Colonial Drug, not a restaurant, obviously, but a drugstore that's been there pretty much before I was born, as far as I can tell, is going. All kinds of changes seem to be happening around here. What are you seeing? Where is this change leading us?
The change goes straight to chains. Yeah. So I'm looking across at Tasty Burger. Tasty Burger, at least, is a locally owned chain that has been very smart and done very well at Fenway, and they do a very good job. But across the street, Shake Shack is going across the street. Enormously successful. Danny Meyer is one of the country's most ingenious, best hosts. But it's national. So I'm old-fashioned in more ways than I would ever like to admit. But one of them is I support local businesses. That's what I try to do with Boston Magazine, writing their restaurant columns. We're most interested in supporting local talent. We need a local system. Mary Catherine and Deborah have helped promote so many chefs here. When national chains come in, they might do a very good job. Pinkberry, Starbucks. I'm thinking of all the places I passed on the way here. I love Pete's Coffee, but it's based in Berkeley, California. You know, how much is local? J.P. Licks, at least, is here, and they are local. So I celebrate the local, and that's what I'm always looking for.
I disagree a little bit with Corby on that. There's no question that there are chains in sort of frozen yogurt and ice cream and even burgers. But if you look at the incredible growth of restaurants in Cambridge and Somerville, it's actually so wonderful for the consumer. It's pretty tough on old guys like us, some of us. But even in the last year or so, if you look at Julia's and Toscano, you know, lots and lots of local chef-owned and operated restaurants. And that is good for the consumer. And I actually think Harvard Square, if you actually look around, it has less chains than it did 30 years ago when I actually came here, believe it or not.
Corby, are you a little encouraged by that?
Not really, because I'm thinking of all the places around. Cambridge has become a dining destination. Look at Kendall Square. I spend my life there. I mean, Rendezvous Central Square. Salts, which everybody forgets and nobody should forget. Right across the street. Area 4. Hungry Mother, fantastic. And Julia's one of my favorite restaurants of the entire year. I gave it one of the best reviews I gave this year. And now, of course, as you know, it's Union Square, Somerville. That's the area. But you were asking about Harvard Square. However, Mary Catherine knows Harvard Square better than I do. If she says there are fewer chains, I'm encouraged.
I'm going to do a shout-out for one place in Harvard Square. Wonderful stand-up diner with stools, Leo's, right there on JFK Street, run by two brothers named Richie and Raffy. They do an honest burger. They make an honest chicken soup. It's as local gets. So let's hear it for Leo's.
You know, our staff loves Leo's for breakfast.
Breakfast all day, by the way.
Yeah, breakfast all day. Now, the same person who bought this building has also bought the building across the way where Tamarind Bay is, and also bought the building that Amex and Leo's and Whitney's is in. And I'm not sure what the fate of Leo's is, so get over there soon for a burger.
Well, we'll keep our fingers crossed there. I want to ask you both about a theme about change in Harvard Square, because we Googled the headline, The Changing Face of Harvard Square, and we came up with an article from 2011 in the Boston Globe, 2009, 2007, 1997, I recall when my family moved out of this area in 1969 and we came back in the mid-70s and everyone was saying, oh my God, Harvard Square, it's unrecognizable, it's all changed. I mean, in a way, this is sort of perennial, this change, isn't it?
Restaurant reviewers would be out of business if there wasn't constant change. We thrive on it. You know, we love when restaurants, when chefs change hands, when they go. You know, I'm thrilled by the number of new places that are open. So, of course, there's always got to be change, and you can't hold on to things.
I had a 95-year-old woman come up. I rode up in the elevator with her to the soiree room the other day. And she said, Mary Catherine, I just can't stand it. It's just so much change in Harvard Square, and I don't recognize anything anymore. Where are the Shea Dreyfuses? and the window shop. And I actually remember Chez Dreyfus and the window shop from when I was in college. They were great for what they were, but really the dining scene is so much more vibrant than it was in 1962 or whenever that was. So I just had to say to her, well, you know, change is eternal. So I do think it is part of life, and it's change is eternal, and I think Harvard Square is actually changing for the better. That's what I really think.
Well, Corby Kummer, Mary Catherine Deibel, thank you both very, very much for this. I really appreciate it. And Mary Catherine, a special good luck to you and to Deborah Hughes as well.
Thank you very much.
That's Mary Catherine Deibel, who along with Deborah Hughes is co-owner of Upstairs on the Square, which will serve its last meal on New Year's Eve. We also spoke to Corby Kummer, food critic for Boston Magazine and senior editor at The Atlantic.